Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are a small, medium-sized business that you think your bank has gotten too big for its britches, your bank has gotten too big for you, but you want a bank that's big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them. I've got a bank that's, I think, at that magic point, and I just know this from hearing the clients that I refer to them and the feedback I get, and that bank is Renaissance Bank. They're big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them, but they're small enough to do it in a personal way. Here's the way to test that. Give them a call at one of their 200 or so offices around the Southeast. Go to renaissancebank.com to find one of those and give them a call. And a lot of people answer the phone. Imagine that. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Derek Seiler. Derek is with Flexential. Derek, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, John. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's talk about you and Flexential. How are you serving folks out there?
Sure. So Flexential is a provider of data center infrastructure services. I think data centers, we've got 41 of them across the United States. And at approximately 9 of those, we have what's called private cloud deployments. And we really serve the business community by helping them to outsource the hosting of their critical applications into a resilient data center, whether that's in a dedicated architecture or a cloud architecture. And we keep them always on, always available. There's some great expressions like slow is the new down, right? In today's business environment, things have to be up and operating and very quick in real time. And that's what we help customers that are really looking to focus more on their business development and their applications and worry less about all the stuff that kind of keeps all that running.
And you're a company with an extensive reach in terms of your people, your facilities. Give us a sense of the scale of Flexential.
Yeah, so we do. We have extensive reach across the United States. So it's not just the Atlanta metro market. Sometimes there are certain data center operators that will only, you know, kind of reside in one market, if you will. We can serve something like 75% of the population of the United States within a 1 to 2 hour driving radius from one of our data centers across the United States. And we're also connected on our network backbone, right? That's the sort of networking infrastructure between all of our data centers. We're also connected to all of the public cloud providers. So names you probably know, like Microsoft and Amazon with their AWS cloud. Those are all on our backbone. So whether it's our data centers, our cloud, or a public cloud, we can help customers navigate where to best place their workloads so their applications are always on. But yeah, significant scale. We've got something, I believe, around the order of 3,000 to 4,000 customers of all different sizes across all different verticals, finance, banking, healthcare, manufacturing, you name it.
Why is scale so important in this industry, Derek? And how does that help you serve your clients better?
Yeah, I think scale is important. First of all, within this industry, data centers are very investment heavy. It's a lot of capital investment to put into a data center. You're talking an order of magnitude of tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars, right? There's lots of smaller players that can serve individual markets very well, but there's very few that truly have a national footprint, right? And that national footprint is important because when you host your application somewhere, the performance of those applications, there's something called latency, which is basically how far the user of that application is away from where it's being hosted, right? And that's important because a lot of companies that we host within our environment or on our platform, as we say, will have multiple instances of their workloads across the country. So that performance experience for the users, right? Whether that's their customers, whether that's their employees, that it's real time, right? If you're having to go across the country, or even around the world, in order to access where your applications are doing processing, then your experience around that is going to be degraded.
So, Derek, just to clarify, do you work directly with small, medium-sized business, or businesses of any size for that matter? Or are you really the backbone for other managed services providers, and they're basically offering your data management services through their wrapper, shall we say?
Sure. No, that's a great question. It's a little bit of both, but I'll break that down for you. So we have an ideal customer profile, what we call our ICP, right? And that's a customer that might have revenues from a couple hundred million dollars up to $5 billion or so in annualized revenues, right? They might have a few hundred employees up to 4,000 or 5,000, for example. That would be a classic mid-market customer and right in the sweet spot for us. But however, on our floor, we also have Fortune 50 finance organizations, some of the largest healthcare organizations in the world. So we're not really limited to the kind of customers that we can service, right? And we also are a platform that other providers will use our infrastructure in order to provide their application services to their customers. It's something called SaaS, or software as a service, right? A lot of software now is delivered in this sort of bite-sized consumption model where you're basically just using it and then shutting it off, right? And you're not buying a full license for it. You're just kind of test driving the car, if you will, for as long as you need it, right? And a lot of those SaaS providers will use our infrastructure to deliver. But really at the core of your question, what's the average customer look like for us? It's a customer that has certain assets in the cloud, has certain assets on servers that they own, and they really need a platform that's ideal for both of those. And that's, fortunately for us, in terms of a target-rich environment, that's 75% of the customers out there, right? They're trying to figure out, how do I fully embrace all of the efficiencies of a cloud model for supporting my applications?
Derek Seiler, folks, with Flexential, has joined us on this edition of North Fulton Business Radio. Derek, I want to ask a deceptively simple question that the answer to which is not simple. Let's talk about what the cloud is, because we business owners, they hear this term and they don't know whether this is, some of them may not even know whether this is real or some fantasy, right? Yeah. And the complexity that's involved behind that word.
Sure. Yeah, I heard a great expression once to get at really the core of what you just asked, right? It was funny and insightful at the same time. It said, there is no cloud. It's just someone else's computer. Right. That's basically all it is, right? It's just someone else's computer. It's a bunch of servers that are virtualized so that you can use it as a pool of resources, right? A pool of computing resources or a pool of storage resources. So you don't have to keep all those resources on site. Or in cloud, it tends to be used in a lot of different ways, right? Sometimes cloud is the actual application itself, right? Where that's that SaaS model I was talking about before. Sometimes cloud is just the infrastructure, and then there's a dedicated application running on top of that. And there's a bunch of different flavors of cloud too. It's one of those terms that tends to get spread a little bit. But I think a good way to think about it is, at the end of the day, every cloud is a data center, right? So if you take, again, I'll go back to something most people know, like AWS or Amazon, right? They have what's called availability zones. And one of their availability zones in the Northeast is it's a physical data center. So when you're on the cloud, you're interacting with a server that's residing in some physical data center somewhere.
Okay, so let's go back to data centers. And you talked about the number that you have across the country. And here in the Atlanta area, folks, just so you know, I think we've got Alpharetta and Douglasville. You've got a big campus that you're really putting a lot of resources into. And then I think Norcross as well. Do I have that right? Okay.
You do.
Okay. Why is it important to have multiple data centers across the country? The benefits to customers for that, as opposed to a smaller company that just has one. Why is that so valuable?
Sure. Boy, there's a lot of ways I can slice that, and I'll just go through a couple. One is, nobody really wants to be in the data center business anymore, right? So let's say you're running your own company and you've got your proprietary applications, right? Stuff that you're developing internally that generates revenue for you, right? You have your off-the-shelf applications like your Microsoft suite, so that runs your business and your your employees' productivity, right? Mm-hmm. It's really inefficient to run your own data center. Folks like us that do this for a living can run it very efficiently from a power consumption perspective, from a cooling perspective, right? If you go into a data center sometime, it's an interesting tour just because you see the physicality of it, right? Servers run hot. Mm-hmm. Right? They send off a lot of heat. So the cooling of it is really a very specific in terms of the technology you need. And as data center technology has been advancing, and we're seeing things like AI come in, that intensity of the workload is just going up and up and up. But to the core, why is it important to have numerous ones across the country? I think that just gets to the perspective of most customers are going to have a diverse population of users that are using these applications, and they're going to be all over the country, right? What we saw during the pandemic, fortunately now, I think we're sufficiently out and fully economically recovered from that. But what we saw during the pandemic is this shift to remote work, mm-hmm. right? And the networks held, the cloud held, right? We didn't really see any dip in like business productivity necessarily, right? During the pandemic, as we shifted from this in-office work model to this remote work model, right? And that's because of cloud. Mm-hmm. And again, every cloud is a data center. So it's important to have data centers everywhere because you need to have those workloads close to the users that are consuming it. So we've crossed that threshold now. It doesn't really matter where you work. You could be in remote Idaho, or you could be in downtown New York City, and your connectivity hopefully is going to be relatively equivalent, and you'll be able to be just as productive.
So I'm assuming that there's a security aspect to this as well, that you're with multiple centers, mm-hmm. there's security issues, and there's also backup. Right? Mm-hmm. That in case you have some issue at one center, you've got backup and availability. Mm-hmm. So it really helps the uptime, as it were, that you're able to offer your clients. Is that a fair assumption?
That's a fair assumption. Yeah. Security is usually, if it's not the number one, it's the number two driving priority of every CIO or CTO, right? Like a chief information officer, a chief technical officer, whoever's in charge of the technology landscape of an organization. Security is going to be one of their paramount concerns, right? We're able to build this in to our platform at a variety of different levels at Flexential, right? The network services that customers would access, servers that are hosted in our data centers, those are protected against DDoS attacks, for example, which is like basically a flood of servers trying to swarm a network and take it down. We have a variety of managed security services that can protect the servers, whether they're in our data center, whether they're in the public cloud. That's a massive consideration. And then there's just the physicality part of security, right? What's important when anybody's choosing a service provider to maybe outsource their applications to, do they have professional services, for example, like consulting services within their organization? The number one data breach that we've ever had, actually, is the recent MGM Grand data breach. It's relevant, it's newsworthy, right? But the cost of cleanup might run into the billions of dollars for this. And this data breach was done by a phishing attack. Right, which is basically as low tech as it gets, right? It's just somebody talking to another user, trying to gain authenticated user access. And then once that access is granted, they're behind the firewall, right? They're inside the walled garden and they can just wreak havoc. And that's exactly what happened, right? So the ability for a service provider like us to have consulting services, we can go into an organization and say, who has access to what? What safeguards and protections do you have in place to prevent unauthorized access? Do you run mock drills around this? Do you know who to notify and how and why in the events of a cyber attack? Those are all like extra value added stuff you can do to augment, right? Because the bad actors are not wasting a minute either, right? They're constantly thinking about new ways to, to get at sensitive data and to hold it for ransom.
Yeah, and just to be clear, mm-hmm. when you say low tech, this is any employee that a business has that gets fooled by what to the naked eye or hurried eye, right? Somebody that's maybe they've got their guard down, they're sitting at home on a laptop and just checking company email, and maybe they're relaxed and have their guard down, they're watching TV, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, boom, they hit the wrong link. And mm-hmm. then you've got trouble.
Exactly.
So so we're really getting at I guess the enemy is you in a way, right? Mm-hmm. That you've got to look in the mirror as a business mm-hmm. and understand what it is you need to do to train your employees mm-hmm. and keep them abreast of what the possibilities for fraud and phishing attacks and security breaches can be, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Chris Downey is our CEO, right? Brilliant mm-hmm. guy. Not just saying that for kudos. Very smart guy. Mm-hmm. And there was a recent announcement by our own internal security department that said it was a malicious phishing email that came out, but it was an email that looked kind of official, mm-hmm. right? From Chris Downey. When the CEO asked for a meeting, you generally say yes.
Right.
And it wanted you to click on a link. And obviously, if we clicked on that link, they might have asked for some piece of additional information, like your password or your user ID or your credentials. And then next thing you know, you've let some sort of malicious piece of software or a bad actor into your environment to potentially wreak havoc. So they're always looking to try to do that. And there's a whole sort of cottage industry that's developed around that to prepare companies to defend against it. Because like I mentioned, the single most significant one from a cost of cleanup perspective was just that, was a phishing attack, right? Bots have their bot attacks are difficult. Those DDoS and network flood attacks are difficult. But a lot of times it's just malicious bad actors that are trying to target somebody that might not necessarily know their company's security protocols, mm-hmm. or maybe the company hasn't invested in things like single sign-on or multi-factor authentication, right? If you go now to your bank, for example, and you log into the online portal, it's very common now to get, hey, I'm going to send you a code in a text, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a 6-digit code, just because here's the phone number I have on file for you, right? The computer's doing all of this, but here's the phone number I have on file for you, John. I'm going to make sure you're John. And so right. I'm going to send you this 6-digit code, type it in, or I won't even let you in. Mm. So that's called multi-factor authentication. And we obviously encourage through some of these managed services customers to take that sort of holistic approach to their security.
Derek Seiler is with us, folks, with Flexential. So Derek, I want to shift gears here a little bit and talk about just, first of all, how a company ought to think about their data management needs as it relates to their scalability. Because take it, you're an advocate for bringing data management to the strategy table, as it were, mm-hmm. for all companies if mm-hmm. they're looking to scale their business. And talk about the role Flexential plays in that for a sure. company.
Sure. There's some interesting stats to back it up, and I'll geek out just for a second.
Okay,
please. I'll pull it back in. But I found this stat that there was somewhere on the magnitude of 50 to 60 zettabytes of data created and consumed in calendar year 2020, and they forecasted about 180 zettabytes of data to be globally created and consumed in 2025, so about 3x, right? And just to see what a zettabyte is, yep. that's 1,000 exabytes, mm-hmm. okay? And now let's explain what an exabyte is. So let's say you download a high-definition movie, you're about to board a flight somewhere, and you want a movie to watch on the plane or something. That'd be about 11 million of those movies.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's an exabyte, right? 1,000 of those is a zettabyte, and we created 64 of those globally in 2020, and we're going to do 180 of that. We're basically at the point where we're creating more data every year mm-hmm. than has ever been created in the history of information technology in the prior years to mm-hmm. that. So we're at that point of data sprawl and data growth and explosive data demand. Fortunately, though, if you're in an IT leader at an organization and you're trying to keep up with this, the MSP market, the managed service provider market, has multiple ways that we can help you. So we do all kinds of services around disaster recovery for data protection. So that's one component of data management. We can do backup as a service for clients. That's taking that sort of back-end operation of fully backing up their environment for the purposes of restoring certain servers or files that may get corrupted or lost or whatever, right? And then we have within our architecture team, right? So my peers, we have the experience to help them create a very methodical approach to how they manage their data, right? So one thing a lot of customers may not realize, but if you're in the industry, you do, if a piece of data hasn't been accessed for 30 or more days, the likelihood of its being accessed again falls off a cliff, right? Mm-hmm. From the probability perspective, mm-hmm. right? So for an MSP, archive that into something cheap and deep, right? So you're right. Keeping your data on your fastest flash and in your fastest storage for only a set period of time, and then you're offloading it basically to take advantage of the economies of scale. So it's that sort of thinking, right, in how you architect your data management practice that a service provider can help with, like a Flexential.
So let's talk about AI, the favorite topic of the day.
Yes.
And probably for the next, frankly, and to be fair, for the next several years, probably this will be, right? So
yes.
Talk about how you play into AI, and specifically even us lay people hear a lot about mm-hmm. the capacity, data management capacity needs that AI creates. Talk about Flexential's role in AI.
It's the capacity issues are pretty profound, right? I saw a stat once, and this is from our chief innovation officer, a man named Jason Carolyn. So he's on the C-suite, reports to Chris Downey, who I mentioned. He mm-hmm. loves to go out and give these sort of presentations. And I try to glom onto as many of them as I can to soak it up like a sponge, because he's just next level brilliant, right? But mm-hmm. he talked about the average Google search and how much energy is consumed. And then you move that over to ChatGPT and how much energy is consumed, right? It's something on the magnitude of 300 times. You're talking like 2-4x more energy consumption, right, to run an AI type workload or a GPU. That's the chip mm-hmm. that runs in the servers that power these AI workloads. Than a CPU, which is the standard computer chip that runs these non-AI workloads. So the power and capacity is amazing. Now, where Flexential plays in that is we have AI-ready data centers, meaning that we can actually host these workloads, we can power them, and most importantly, we can cool them, right? Because there's all these other kind of different technologies now that are being used on these workloads, where it's not just air-cooled anymore. There's liquid cooling. It's very cool. If you could imagine liquid coming through pipes into the back of a server area or server rack, the cold radiating off of that, dissipating that heat, because the big challenge with these servers is that they run very hot. And our data center footprint and where it's located is also playing a big role in AI's rollout, because we're in a lot of these tier two data center markets. So let me just explain real briefly there. Tier one markets are like your Northern Virginia. In Ashburn, Virginia, you can trip and fall over a data center. There are mm-hmm. data centers everywhere, right? So because it's capital intense to open up a new data center, we've been very smart about where we're opening data centers in these tier two locales. So Atlanta, that will soon become a tier one data center market. Portland, Oregon, we've played a big role in the Pacific Northwest and making Portland into a tier one data center market. Markets like Nashville are some of our fastest growing markets. So we'll look for like where there's large white collar workforce and it's outside of those kind of classic tier one data centers. Why that matters for AI is all the same reason it matters for any other type of cloud workload. It's proximity, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be close to where that data is created. So those AI applications, whether it's using that in certain SaaS applications, whether that's using that in large language models, whether it's using it in advanced AR, VR kind of stuff, alternate virtual reality kind of things, like think next level gaming, right? You want to be close, again, to where it's being created. So we're in a good position because our data centers can handle those workloads, and we have a good footprint that are outside of the traditional primary data center markets. So we can catch that as it moves out to the edge. We're ready to catch that. And it's been a huge driver of growth for us. It's powered significant year-over-year revenue growth for us. I wish I'd invested early. I'll just count that as another investment opportunity. I didn't get on the mm-hmm. on the bandwagon in the right time, but there's a company, NVIDIA, right? They're now part of the, what do they call it, the Miracle 7, along with Google and Microsoft and all the rest of them, that has come out of nowhere within 5 to 10 years' time because they were the first to market with these AI chips. Mm-hmm. And now their market capitalization is profound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Certainly augurs for the future.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So as we wind down here, Derek, I'd love it if you could, let's just reiterate, you mentioned it earlier, but I want to reiterate just the types of businesses that are best fits for Flex, so that we're clear on that point.
Sure, of course, yeah. So we have all kinds of types, right? Mm-hmm. So even large Fortune 50s, but I'd say like an ideal customer for us is going to be somewhere between 250 to 5,000 employees, somewhere around 100 million to 5 billion or so in revenues. Mm-hmm. And ideally, and this is actually the majority of customers, but ideally ones that have owned their own data center at some point in time, and now they're trying to bridge to the cloud. So there's a lot of like startups that are what's called born in the cloud, meaning they've never owned servers. They've never operated their own data center. All their applications are fully configured to run in the public cloud. That's probably not an ideal customer for us. Right. Fortunately, in terms of being a target-rich environment, most customers aren't like that. Most customers aren't totally born in the cloud. Mm-hmm. They're trying to migrate in that direction. And that's what we can help them do.
So I think it would be great if you, I think you alluded to one earlier, if you could share a success story, one that's illustrative of the great work that you're doing on behalf of your clients.
Sure. So there's one. So this is a SaaS provider. I talked about that earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you don't buy a license of the software. You buy compute cycles or time on the platform. They create a very specialty software that is used to manage golf clubs and fitness clubs and things like that. Things that have multiple elements to it, whether it's catering and dining and tennis and golf and other recreational activities. There's a software for that, right? There's an app for that, right? There's an app for everything. And they had been deployed in the public cloud, and they had a lot of financial risk where every time they brought a new customer on, and they're just crossing over 1,000 customers now, they are runaway growth, right? But still a relatively, you know, small but rapidly growing company. Every time they brought a new customer on, they opened up a new instance in the public cloud just exclusively for this customer. Mm. And they would contract out for a certain amount of time. So that's their cost, right? You think about their cost of goods, if you will, right? Is all that compute time that they're contracting with the public cloud provider. What if their customer terminates for cause? So they're like, hey, if this customer chooses to leave and go to one of my competitors, I still got to pay for all these months and months. And so we said, hey, because we offer not just cloud, not just access to the public cloud, but also colocation and a variety of other different services, we're a true hybrid provider. We can give you some of that. We can help you to de-risk your business, right? If you want to buy some servers and take this particular workload back in-house, we got a data center for you. Right. If you want to move it on to a private cloud, we've got a data center for you. If you still want to, you know, have access to the public cloud, we've got a data center for you. So that's called repatriation. Right. And in the 2010s, everybody's moved all their work or tried to move all their workloads to the cloud. And a lot of that stuff really didn't belong in that particular flavor of cloud. Mm-hmm. And so now some of that is coming back into private cloud and stuff that Flex Central could do. And that's where we were able to offer up that value prop. Hey, we can help de-risk your business. We can take the risk out of it. And they're like, sign me up. So it's been a really good success story.
Wow. Great work from Derek Seiler and the team at Flexential. Derek, this has been great. And I can't imagine there aren't some folks that upon hearing this interview wouldn't want to be in touch to learn more about your services. So let's give them a place to go.
Yeah, I guess the best place probably would just be our website at flexcentral.com. We've got all of the use cases that I talked about in this very enjoyable podcast interview. So thank you again, John.
Absolutely.
You go up on flexcentral.com. You can get in touch with some of our sales representatives, and we can start to have this conversation around your cloud journey. We offer up free workshops as well for customers, right? So it's like a try before you buy, if you will, where we can help you to understand where you should be talking and placing your workloads. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that even if you don't come with us, right? So there's value out of maybe we can help find some inefficiencies in the way that you're currently operating your environment and give you those best practice recommendations. But yeah, just go to flexcentral.com and we'll take it from there.
Superb. Derek Seiler from Flexcential. Derek, thanks again for coming on. We're delighted we could shine a light on the great work you're doing over there.
Thank you, John. Appreciate being here. Thanks again.
Thank you. Hey, folks, just a couple quick things before we let you go for today. I have a new book out. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. It's really aimed at, if you're a solo or small firm professional services provider, it's really aimed at you. So you can check out the book at thegenerositymindset.com, or as the old saying goes, wherever fine books are sold, you'll be able to find the book and learn more. And I just want to thank our listeners. You are fabulous. We've just passed show number 750 of North Fulton Business Radio, and we've only gotten this far because of you. Because you continue to support the show, you share the show, you like us on social media, and we're here to shine the light on others, and you help shine the light on us, and we're grateful for that. But what you're really doing is sharing the great work of all our guests, like Derek and the other some 1,200 guests we've had over the years. And we appreciate you for doing that. Business does not have a place to tell its story in major media, and we're here to tell that story because it's a great story to tell. So thank you for helping us continue to be the voice of business in the North Fulton region and beyond. We're grateful to you. So for my guest, Derek Seiler, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.